Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Well, don't you love before and after pictures? Aren't they fun? How they illustrate new change. Particularly those pictures where it seems like it's moved from the impossibly bad to the fantastically good. Don't you love those? We see before and afters from facial makeovers to backyard makeovers, health transformations to home renovations. And we love to see how all these changes can take place. And we marvel at what came after when we consider what was before. You know, there's even before and after pictures of dogs. That is before and after they hear their master say, "You're a good boy." Whole series of pictures, actually. Before and after represents actual change, indicating that transformation is possible even when it seems incredible. And today we're talking about the power of before and after Jesus stories and how your personal testimony, your story of how Jesus has changed your life, is one of the most influential ways that you can help your friends find and follow Jesus. We can all tell people what it was like before. And we can tell them what happened after Jesus came into our lives, before and after. Kind of like the before and after story of Dez as he shares his Alpha story.
I worked in retail by day, I was a bouncer by night, but I only really did these jobs to feed my cocaine addiction. The life of a bouncer is very violent and pretty much anything went. I would stand on the door and get abuse after abuse. The mentality was to push each other with a lot of banter and try and be faster or funnier or more aggressive than the next guy. My life became a real jump between knocking people out or punching people in the face and waking up in park benches. The violent scene made me take more drinking drugs just to kind of stay normal. And then one night I found myself alone and I took an overdose. And I realised that I didn't want to die, so I cried out in prayer. The next day I woke up and didn't want to touch cocaine ever again. I put this down to my own strength and just being a strong character. But then something was different. I kept meeting Christians, and in my line of work that was quite strange. And then there was this one woman, Fiona, who worked in the store I worked in, and she was a Christian. She openly shared her faith, and that made me ask her a lot of questions, and I mercilessly tortured her for answers. And she was really, really nice and didn't get angry and handed me a Bible and said I should maybe try reading it. I decided to ask Fiona out because I really started to fall for her. She said no. And then I thought she lived her life by this book, so I should maybe get the answer for why she should go out with me in this book. So I started to read it. And instead, I found a lot of other things. It was at this point that I asked Fiona to take me along to church. When I got to church, I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never been to church before. And there was an Alpha starting. So I thought, what have I got to lose? So I went along and did the Alpha course. It was great to meet so many different people who made me feel just so welcome and were just really, really nice. And it really made me start to think about some of the bigger questions in life, like, why would God choose to forgive me? Or how could I even possibly remotely become a Christian? As the weeks went on, we got closer and closer, and, you know, we ate together, we had fun together, we laughed over the discussions, and we really started to develop a real sense of family. And it was these people's lives living out what it meant to be a Christian today that really spoke to me and really encouraged me to think about things differently. Alpha really turned the questions I had into a belief about God and that God really genuinely cares for me and everyone else. I've changed from a violent, loveless drug addict to a family man who's happily married and just a lover of life. Fiona and I are now married and we've just had a wee baby. I've been running Alphas for many different peoples, from gangs to grannies, and I've really seen people's lives change. Every day is an adventure.
There's nothing quite like the story of a life changed, is there? And it's so impactful. Aren't you glad that Des told his story and continues to tell his story? Because here's the truth. Your story of faith matters. Your before and after Jesus counts. In fact, the simple story of a changed life brings the good news of Jesus to others in ways that no argument or proposition or talk can do. And what's more, those who knew you before and now see you after, well, for them, your story has more weight than you can possibly imagine. You stand as living evidence that real change is possible through Christ Jesus, and telling your story can overcome skepticism, fear, hesitancy. It can clear away barriers for faith. Have you ever told your story of coming to follow Jesus? And how did that go? Have you ever written down what it was like before and now after coming to know Jesus? The truth is, not only will telling your story bolster your own faith, it's a key way that you can help your friends find and follow Jesus. And it's not just a one-off event. I mean, for those of us who came to faith later in life, you will often have a more distinct before and after. I mean, you have way more to say about what before was like if you're 20 than if you're 12. Or like me, 6. I mean, I was an awful sinner before I was 6, but, you know, the page isn't too long. Ask my mom. She's here today. She can tell you. But, you know, obviously, if it was later, you have more of a before and after, maybe a more clear picture. But here's the reality. Everyone has a story of growth in Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a story of learning. You have a story of maturity. You have a story of challenges and of risk and of overcoming. We all have a story to tell of how Jesus has made and is making a difference in our lives. And so all followers of Jesus, whether you're arriving late or you arrived early, all followers of Jesus have things in their lives that can be told as a before and an after. Maybe overcoming an addiction or surrendering your fear. Or perhaps it's learning to grow in generosity and letting go of the things that the world characterizes as important. Or maybe it's learning to take bold risks of faith and how Jesus is leading you into that. We all have more than one before and after Jesus story to tell. Well, today we're going to dive into this pretty extreme before and after story that we already heard about a man who is so ruined that he seemed beyond all hope and then so transformed that he becomes a walking billboard for God's grace. It has a funny implication for all of us, this story, because it's a rare instance when Jesus denies the request of a new follower who wants to come with him. Instead of welcoming this radically changed man to become one of his newest followers, Jesus commands this transformed man to stay and tell his community how Jesus has changed his life. And it's this stay and tell that's going to hold our focus this morning. Let's hear the story again. Mark chapter 5, read along if you'd like. I don't have much of it on the screen today. So there's Bibles in your seats, on your phones, at home on a second screen, whatever you'd like, or just listen. Here it is. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake, and they were drowned. Okay, so you're getting the before picture pretty clearly here, right? It is a terrible picture of before. This is a completely ravaged man, body, mind, soul. He's filled with anguish. He's crazed with fear. He's crying out and causing self-harm, living among the dead, isolated from his community, unable to be chained, and yet in the most extreme bondage, a very nearly damned soul. And yet not quite. Not quite damned. Because Jesus showed up, right? He's not beyond hope because Jesus stormed the beach of his war-torn life. And now he's going to set him free. Let's keep going. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus... And now the after picture starts to emerge. They saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Now that's a powerful before and after story, isn't it? Can you imagine the impact this fellow's testimony had on that whole region? Well, let's take a few notes from this story and draw out some of the implications for us in how we can stay and tell our story. We already took note of the super obvious. This man was beyond all hope except for Jesus, who showed up and delivered him from a living hell. That moment, though, I love that moment. That moment when all the people come running up. All the people who knew all about that crazy, scary man living down in the tombs. All the people who had long heard him shrieking at night. All the people who had given up trying to help this hopeless man. That moment when they show up and see him just sitting there. Wow. Calm. Quiet. Smiling, I'm sure. Clothed. Surrounded by Jesus and in his right mind. Wow. And they didn't know what to do with this change. And that on top of 2,000 pigs dead on the shore shook them to their core. Fear gripped them so much that they begged Jesus, the one who had all this power, to leave their shores for good. And so Jesus prepares to go. He's come across the water, apparently, to save this one man because he was worth it. And now he's getting in the boat to go. Mission complete. Well, this man sees this as his ticket out of here. And I can really respect that. After all he'd lost, after the way he'd been living for who knows how long, after all that exposure and shame, being just known and seen in such a publicly degraded, awful way, leaving with Jesus would seem like the fresh start that he needed. What an attractive option. Wouldn't you have wanted that? I'd have wanted that. And Jesus, who had just revealed his power and grace and love and goodness and transformed this man's life. I mean, is there anywhere else he'd rather be than with Jesus? And so while people are begging Jesus to leave, this man is begging to leave with Jesus. The perfect love of Jesus has cast all fear out of him. He's been utterly transformed. And what would you have said if you were Jesus? I know what I would have said. Hop in, buddy. We're out of here. Right? I mean, come on. This guy would have been the best disciple ever. It's like, move over, Peter, James, John. There's a new best boy in tow. Don't you think? I mean, come on. He'd outshine those dudes. But Jesus wouldn't let him come, which I think is a bit of a surprise. I mean, really, don't you want that guy in your closest ranks now? I mean, just think, you can just pull out his story right toward the end of testimony time, and he can just knock it home, right? No? Am I the only one? Think of all the people that would have heard him. But perhaps that is what Jesus is thinking about. Could it be that Jesus has others in mind, others who've missed this opportunity, but will be given yet another? Maybe it is that Jesus has in mind all those fearful people who are begging him to leave, that he wants them too to experience God's love and grace. And the only way that's going to happen is if this man stays and tells his story. And so Jesus says, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Jesus tells him to stay and tell. And it's only by staying and telling that people are going to move from fear at the power of Jesus to amazement at his grace. Let's pull this apart a little bit and see what the implications are for us. First, Jesus says, go home to your own people. That is, instead of coming with him, Jesus wants him to stay. Why is that happening? Why is it that Jesus would do this? Do you think? Why? Shout out some of the reasons why you think he's doing this. Why? Jesus can't stay? Yes. So why is he telling him to stay? Why does he want him to stay? Evangelize. What else? His own people knew him before.
So if you travel and you tell your story and you're like, I was a demon-possessed person and this is what I used to be, you know, they...
Back across the water, they don't know. They're just going to hear, yeah, crazy dude, yeah, okay. I can imagine in my mind a crazy person.
They saw him every day on the street.
Yes, they never saw him. That's right. Yeah. Any other reasons? Why? Why would they tell him to stay? Why does Jesus tell him to stay? The truth is, your story has unique power among those who've seen you before and now see you after. The very people who knew you then will not dispute the changes they see in you now. They're going to see the joy where before you were very joyless. They're going to see the courage when you've been known as a person of fear. They're going to see the freedom when your life had been characterized by bondage. They're going to see what you now prioritize, which has shifted and changed from what used to be important to you. They're going to see who you're following now. So let me ask you, who are your own people? Where's home for you? What does it look like for you to tell your story of Jesus' work in your life right where you are now? You know, crossing cultures and going to new places and engaging new people and learning new languages and figuring out how to cross those lines is a very important way that followers of Jesus obey the commission of Jesus to make disciples in all the world. Hands down, the Christian faith is a missionary movement, always has been, always will be. And yet, we must embrace our responsibility and opportunity to stay and tell as well. Because the reality is, most Christians are going to be at home for most of their lives. Even those who go and tell somewhere else end up coming back home. Even those who, for example, sending Natalie and Chase to Ecuador this fall, they're going to be gone and learning and experiencing this cross-cultural aspect of Christian mission, which is so important. But guess what? By the end of November, they're going to be back here. And they need to learn how to stay and tell here, just as we all do. Most Christians will be at home, and it's home. Home is where you live out your faith. Home is where people know you. Home is actually where you have the most credibility. So where's home for you? Where is Jesus commanding you to stay and tell? Think about your workplace, the people that you rub shoulders with every day, perhaps the people you connect with in your neighborhood, or even in an online forum. Maybe there's people that you have some relationship with because of your school, or a volunteer association, or a recreational group. I don't know where home is for you, but each and every one of us have places that are home for us among our own people, whatever that might be. Now, it's interesting that as you stay and tell, you'll find that your definition of home may expand, as it did for this man. You know, he was told, go home to your own people and tell. And he could have thought, yes, I have some cousins that would like to know this story, right? What he ends up doing is telling a story to a whole region known as the Decapolis. That is 10 cities. Decapolis. 10 cities. The Decapolis. And I kind of like that. This man is so eager to tell his story to his homies that his definition of home expands to include the whole region. And I think that's the way of it. That as we really begin to tell our Jesus story and people begin to connect and they move from fear to amazement, we have a desire to tell it more, to spread it further. But the main thing here is this. Don't think that just because you can't go, you don't have to tell. We tell anywhere. And specifically, we tell wherever it is that we are. And some of us really need to hear this command from Jesus. Stay where you are and tell your story of Jesus. Which moves us to the next aspect of this command. Of course, tell them, Jesus said. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Tell them how he has had mercy on you. In other words, make Jesus famous with your story. Tell everyone the story of how amazing Jesus is. Tell them of the powerful, life-changing grace of Jesus in your life, with your life as the best illustration you've got. And notice how this guy did that. I've always loved the way Jesus says, tell them how much the Lord has done for you. The man goes away and begins to tell all these people how much Jesus had done for him. I love that. Jesus is the hero of this man's story, and he's the hero of yours too. The story isn't ultimately about this man. He's an illustration of the magnificence and the power and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Yes, he's saying, hear my story, but it's only so you'll listen and look to Jesus himself. And here's what Jesus knew. This man could do something through his personal testimony that Jesus was unable to do through his personal presence. I want to say that again because I want you to hear it. Jesus knew this man could do something through his personal testimony that Jesus was unable to do through his personal presence. These people were so afraid of Jesus, they begged him to leave. And so Jesus does, but he leaves his best man behind, knowing that his testimony will move these people in a way that nothing else would. And the result, when they really began to see the change worked out, they really began to see that this was real, those demons aren't coming back. And perhaps they heard his story a few times, or they saw him walking down the street looking pretty normal. And they're hearing again the story, and they're being reminded of all they had known about him, all that they had seen over the years. His story of change was something that just couldn't be argued against. It couldn't be written off and dismissed. It couldn't be downgraded to willpower or something easily explained. And as they saw his story and heard it again and again, they moved from a place of fearing Jesus to being amazed at his grace and mercy. And here's the takeaway. When you are willing to get specific on the changes that Jesus has brought to your life, and when people hear the tangible elements of your personal story, whether it's how you came to faith in the first place or the ongoing story of transformation in your life, as you share that, people will move from places of rejection and fear into spaces of wonder and amazement. They will be more ready to come and see, receiving that invitation to explore Jesus. They'll be more willing to have a Jesus conversation as they hear your story. They'll be more willing to explore further this wonderful man who came to bring freedom and life to all. And so Jesus said, stay and tell, and we stay and tell. Let's recap where we've been the last few weeks. In order to help our friends find and follow Jesus, we first look at the power of come and see invitations. Invitations to explore who Jesus is, and the key word there was invite. And our fall Alpha course has been a super easy layup, low-hanging fruit, all the cliches and metaphors you can imagine. Invite them to come to Alpha. Super easy. And just see what might happen as they do. And last week, we saw how Jesus called his disciples to follow and fish, indicating how following Jesus includes helping others find and follow him too. The key word there is to initiate. That is, as we follow Jesus, we initiate Jesus conversations with others in the hopes that they'll follow him too. And today, the challenge to stay and tell, the key word is illustrate. That is, our very lives become an illustration of Jesus' mercy and grace. And through our story, we make Jesus famous. People will be helped to find and follow Jesus, and they will move from fear to wonder. So my question is, will you stay and tell? And will you stay and tell if you've never learned to tell your story? And if you haven't learned how to frame it? So in closing today, I'd like to offer some practical guidance for you. You may want to take notes. You may want to come and watch this again on YouTube. I don't know, on podcast, whatever. But I do want to give you some very specific guidance. And if you have really awesome memories, you're just going to lock this in, no problem, right? But the truth is, we all need to tell our story of faith. You heard it earlier from Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Every one of us has a story to tell if you are a follower of Jesus. So how do you do this? Well, first you start by writing it out. You chart your faith timeline. This is very practical. This is very helpful. That you actually pull out a sheet of paper and put alive at this point, and, well, you can put a question mark at the other end. But you mark out to today what your faith timeline has been. What were your influences, your spiritual influences? Who were the people in your life? What were the voices that you heard? What was the culture that surrounded you? Negative, positive, whatever. What were your spiritual influences? When did you first hear about Jesus? Did it happen all at once, or was it smattered down through time? When did you finally follow Jesus? might include a prayer that you prayed, or might be a baptism. It might be a time at camp or a special conversation that you remember. It might be because you were at a super low point in your life and you experienced trauma and loss and finally looked to Jesus. But the point there is to chart out these significant moments in your faith timeline. Get them down on paper. Try to note, when were they and where was I and who was in the picture of my faith journey? After doing that, then, write out your BC story. I don't mean why you came to the province of British Columbia. Your before Christ story. What was that like before Christ? What was missing in your life? What mattered to you? What were you afraid of? What was your heart chasing after? What was it longing for? Before Christ came into your life, what was your sense of purpose? In other words, just try to capture and write, what was it like before Jesus? Then describe with as much detail as you can your process of coming to trust in Jesus for salvation, receiving forgiveness, and yielding your life to Christ. Try to remember everything you can about it. Like, really get crazy about it. And write down the person, the influences, the struggle. Name the names and name the places. And spend time reflecting on the actual experience of moving from a lack of trust in Jesus to a full trust in Jesus. What was that like? You understand how this is going to help you bolster your own faith as you do this, as you remember, what was that like to come to follow Jesus? And then move on to writing out your AD story, your after Christ story, or in this guy's case, after deliverance story. How has Jesus shown mercy to you? Have you ever written out the answer to that question? What has Jesus done for you? I dare say it's probably been a while for some of you that you've actually reflected on that question, and I think it'd be very helpful. What has Jesus done for you? How has Jesus brought a change in you from what characterized you before? Where do you have freedom now where it was slavery before? What attitudes or actions or ways of thinking have shifted? How has meeting Jesus and coming to follow Jesus changed how you understand yourself, literally your identity? How has Jesus changed the way you make decisions? How has Jesus, as the leader of your life, impacted now what you do and what you don't do? How has Jesus, in his grace and mercy, changed your heart? And as you do this, I encourage you, especially those of you who have been following Jesus for a while, whether you came to faith later or early, that you also name areas of growth, because the Christian life is a series of befores and afters. There's the story of coming to faith in Jesus the first time, and those very significant stories and moments, but there's also the story of change and growth in our lives where Jesus is leading us into new areas of transformation. Write those down too. It could be that your most compelling before and after story right now is more to do with that. And then pull it all together. Taking all these notes, write out a 1 or 2 page story of how Jesus has changed your life. And take some time to make it clear. You don't want to include everything you thought up when you were jotting down these answers. You want to keep it somewhat concise. You want to be able to read it out loud naturally. You want to give it to a few friends or family or people here in the church and see what they think about it. Get their feedback and actually get them to ask you some questions about it. It's very intriguing. I love reading those stories of people as they've come to faith and follow Jesus. And as you do that, learn to tell it. One of the men in our community that does this a lot is John Wanning. And I was chatting with him this week. He's not here right now, but he's watching online. Hi, John. He gave me permission to tell you this. John came to faith in Jesus in his late 60s. He's now in his mid, slightly later, 70s. When John was first a follower of Jesus, he wrote out his story, his testimony, and he shared it here in this congregation. Hadn't been following Jesus very long at that point. That written testimony that John wrote and honed a bit over the years has become a key way that he has shared his faith with other people. In fact, John will often ask people, "Do you want to read my testimonial?" he'll say to them. Or he'll visit an old friend who doesn't know Jesus, who's dying in the hospital, and he'll leave it with him. He'll say, "I want you to read this. I'm going to come back and ask you what you think about it." Or he'll email it to a friend. My point being, John has used his written testimony to provide, he's used that to initiate these Jesus conversations we've been talking about. And he just gives it to people in the hopes that they'll read it, and then he'll have an opportunity to explain it. He'll ask them, "What questions do you have?" And in his story, he tells about the change that's happened in his life, particularly around purpose in life and around eternity, because he is now late in life come to follow Jesus. And he is consistently showing other people, telling other people his story, and in particular, going back to people that he worked with for years in sales, in different companies, people that knew him as a hardened anti-Christian. And he often opens up by saying, "Guess what?" And they say, "What?" "Well, I'm a Christian now." And after they pick themselves up off the floor, and I think probably express a few expletives at the same time, John then goes on to tell them, or give them his testimonial. And I use that as an example, and I thank you, John, for being so consistent in sharing your faith with, frankly, anyone you can share it with, but particularly the way John has gone back to the people that were his own people and has shared his story of faith with them. It's inspiring, and I encourage you all to do the same. Write out your story. Learn to tell it. I want to close today with another Alpha story, telling another very compelling before and after Jesus story of change in the life of a man who was just as ravaged and just as lost as the demonized man in Mark 5. This from Emmanuel in Rwanda.
My name is Parti Emmanuel, and I participated in the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. I murdered many Tutsi under the order of bad leadership and have spent 6 years in prison and 4 years in community service. While in prison, fellow prisoners invited me to try Alpha. I went, but struggled to engage. I realized I needed to tell the truth about what I had done, and wrote a letter asking for forgiveness of the relatives of those I had murdered. Life was so hard after being released from prison. I found my wife with 2 children that were not mine, and I faced many heartbreaking situations. I didn't know how I was going to live with the genocide survivors after what I had done. My heart was filled with agony, loneliness and fear. Encouraged by Alpha in prison, I decided to do Alpha again. I learned that Jesus forgives and experienced love in a way I had never known before. With the help of a local pastor, I went to find Vincent, whose mother and grandmother I had killed, to ask for forgiveness. I now live in a village built for genocide survivors and perpetrators. Vincent lives in the same village. We have formed a friendship, and I now experience peace like I haven't experienced it before. Day-to-day life continues to be a challenge, but I have found forgiveness and healing for the things that I have done. Got questions about life? Try Alpha.
Big or small, we all have a story to tell. Jesus has the power to change each and every life. And your story of how Jesus changed your life is one of the most powerful ways that you can help your friends find and follow Jesus. So in our efforts to make Jesus famous, let's be willing to stay where we are and tell others how much Jesus has done for us. Let me pray for you. Jesus, it's a powerful call to stay and tell. And I simply ask that we would be a people who, through our stories, illustrate your amazing grace. May we make you famous, Lord Jesus, the hero of our story, as we tell others how much you've done for us. I pray that we would take this challenge today seriously, that we wouldn't just write it off as yet another list of things that Tom told us to do at church, but I'm not doing anyway. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help each one of us to pull a paper out at home or open a new Word doc on our computer and begin to write out our story so that we can be a people who stay and tell. Lord Jesus, help us. Inspire us. Fill us and use us to help others find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.